Basically, I think for Renee and I, both our printers for email and our phones were ringing off the hook after receiving the notice that all the retirees received. We had a meeting on the 5th of February where we tried to provide as much information to retirees as possible and respond to questions. And as Renee said, we'll be meeting again tomorrow to do pretty much the same thing. I'm impressed and pleased, I guess, with the people who've spoken ahead of me. I think that they are demonstrating pretty well-informed and making well-informed comments this evening. We feel, I guess, we've put the most time in of anyone in terms of trying to compare all of the plans and understand them in detail and understand the ramifications. And the consequences led us to the point that we're not interested in going to CalPERS either for those who are on the basic plan or those who are going to be on the Medicare and Medicare supplement plans. I think the topic of the night and the thing that stirred the most people is the issue of Medicare. For those people who don't have Medicare eligibility, and I think those are mostly faculty who are older, who spent their career in education and didn't have access to either Social Security deductions or Medicare. And as a consequence, through really no fault of their own, lie in a situation where they will be, if CalPERS is chosen, on the basic plan, which is essentially what the contract says. But it's a far inferior plan, in our opinion, to the one that they currently have. And is also, I think, inferior to the one that those people who have Medicare. And it seems to be that, to some degree, in comparison of your willingness to pay for, apparently, the premium for those who have B and those who have penalties, because the cost is relatively cheap, and unwilling to pay for those who have no Medicare, because it's going to be $456 a month for the Medicare A plus the B plus the, and so therefore you're making an economic decision. And it seems to me that everybody who would be in the retiree pool, particularly tier one people, are in the same legal circumstance and being treated quite differently as a result of nothing that they really had control over other than what you're willing to spend money on. For those of us who have A or who basically qualified for Medicare, most of that, particularly for faculty, was done outside of their employment with the college or outside of their employment in education, either before they began teaching or as side jobs while they were, or acquiring the quarters necessary after they retired. The result is, I think we all see those benefits as self-earned and kind of a self-insurance, which we have acquired and chosen to pay for if we chose to pay for it, because essentially it provided a supplement to the benefits that the district was providing us, gave us enhanced benefits, and at the same time we believe it rewarded the district, because for the coverage, if we had A and went to the hospital and them didn't have to pay more than 20%, the district saved money. If we had A and B, it didn't have to pay more than 20%, and the district saved money. And that was all on our dime. It was all on our expense. We're the ones who chose to be employed in a way that got us Social Security and Medicare. We're the ones who chose to either decide not to get A or B because we believed we were covered well enough by the district, or to get A and B because we felt either insecure or we wanted to make sure that we were covered as well as possible, so that whatever eventualities that were out of our hand at least gave us that security, assuming that we still had. So essentially, we've always looked at Medicare as a supplement to the district plan, even though it pays up front the first 80%. And I guess from my perspective, that seems like my personal property. I'm the one, those retirees among me are the ones who chose that course, who had deductions to get there, who chose to pay for it once we got there. And given it being our property, it doesn't seem to me that the district has the ability to step in and appropriate my property and tell me that you will pay for my costs that have been up to this time coming willingly out of my pocket, and I'm not interested in changing that, and then turning around and giving me that back as my benefit. That doesn't seem to be what we bargained for in terms of district supplied benefits. I think that you're not treating all the retirees equally in terms of those who won't have the Medicare option, and I think that you're violating both the contract language and the settlement language by saying that you have the capacity, essentially like eminent domain, like if I bought a quarter of an acre or something across from Ventura College, paid for it, and then you came along as a district, decided you needed to expand, and you were able to acquire my property by eminent domain. Seems to me like that's what you're doing here, is taking my property and making it yours. You're compensating me for it, but you think you're not, you're telling me essentially you don't have to give me a choice. And we believe, I guess, in terms of contract language, settlement language, we have a choice, and we will exercise that choice. Thank you.
Thank you, Gary.
All right, good.